Good morning. This morning, our scripture lesson is from John 4, verses 5 through 42, from the story that Ms. Paula just shared with the children. But hear the word of the Lord. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give you will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to her, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with the woman. But no one said, what do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more than comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said, to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. What is living water? There are many metaphors to it. Some say it represents spiritual life, salvation, Holy Spirit, inner renewal that comes from God, relationship with God that satisfies the deepest spiritual needs. Love is one of those things that people believe the living water represents, where the living water is endless and is eternally flowing, right? Just as God's love is endless and continues to flow and pour out. So I was thinking, how am I going to explain? And I thought, I am going to show analogy. Now, mind you, all analogies, if you take it too far, it doesn't describe it fully what it is saying. But the picture is there, so use your imagination to do so. And I wish, are you guys hearing the static? Okay. I wish. Paula? See, I don't know what it is that makes it. So today, I actually asked for some volunteers last minute to come up. And so I asked them today to come up with us, to help us to illustrate this point. If you will come up. And I'll have Bella next to me. So imagine this is a picture. Imagine this is God. This is a picture, but just imagine this is God with living water, right? And this is me, right? Growing up, it wasn't the easiest. I was always feeling empty. Something was missing in my life. I felt lonely. I felt unloved. I felt not cared for. And because of that, it soon led to depression. And it was, I remember feeling so unworthy to a point where I felt like surely God wouldn't want someone like me. But that all changed for me when I realized that God's love wasn't only for those who went to church, wasn't only for those who knew their Bible, wasn't only for those who was religious, wasn't only for those who was always good all the time. Growing up, I'm realizing nobody is ever good all the time. but I thought that's what you have to be. That's how you came to God. You have to be worthy. But one day, it became so clear to me that God loved me, the broken me, the one who was unloved by everyone, one who was a failure to his parents, one who felt like a failure as a brother, one who felt like a failure as a friend, just felt not good enough. But God said, "You are my beloved son. I love you and I want you." And this is the picture I get Because I don't quite still figure out how to put I felt in that moment. But I felt full. And it was strange because my circumstances didn't change at all. But just knowing that God cares for me, that God will protect me, and that God will hear me when I pray, it filled me up, right? And ideally, it would be full to a brim, but I didn't want to make a mess out here. So just imagine this being completely full, overflowing, right? And I'm overflowing with this love, right? And it's because I had this relationship with God, this new relationship with God, where I knew who I was, not in my grades, not when what my parents thought, not what my teachers thought, not my what peers thought, but I knew who I was because I knew who I was in God. Right? I was created in God's image. Right? And so my cup was full. What do you do with this? Is the question that we all should wonder, but always fail to wonder. Because it's always this, and it's never in other relationships. And so I want to give you an example, right? We have Bella. Now, she is awesome. I know she has a relationship with God. I know God loves her, and she loves God wholeheartedly. She is amazing. But we're just going to pretend, right? We're going to pretend that Bella has no relationship with God, right? And she's having a horrible, horrible, absolutely horrible day. And she's feeling empty. She feels lonely. She feels scared. She feels like a failure, right? And her soul is unsatisfied, right? She's looking for something, and she needs help. Now, I have cup full of the living water. It's brimming, it's overflowing to this point. In your opinion, what should I do? Share it. Share it. But why? God gave me this. This is God promised to me, not Bella's. Why should I share it? Is it mine to begin with? No. Whose water is this? God's. It's not mine to keep. It's not mine to covet. Blessings from God, and we say we're all blessed, right? You know that you're all blessed, right? We're blessed. Not so we can make ourselves great. Not so that we can make ourselves feel great. Not so we can make our life comfortable. We are blessed so that we may share in this blessing with someone who is having a hard time. So, I will share it. And this is what it looks like. Right? Again, this is an analogy. I'm sure there's some hole somewhere, right, that you can argue with me about. But just get, yeah, let's just go with it. This is very, I don't like generalizations either, but this for this moment, we'll do it. So this is what it looks like. So she's struggling. So Bella, what is it that someone can do for you that you will feel loved when they do it, when you're having a hard time? What is it that someone can do to help you with that? Just their presence, right? Just being present with you, just sitting with you, maybe listening to you, right? And so I do this with Bella. She's struggling, and I'm here. Hey, Bella, I notice you're struggling, and I just want to be here with you, you know? And so I'm hanging out with her, and we are talking. Maybe she's sharing some deep thoughts or struggles. And I'm just listening. No judgment, no solutions. I'm just listening. And so her love, her cup fills up through my love for her. Right? Now, I can always fill up. How can I do that? Because I have a relationship with God. I know God. You know, Bella doesn't know, but I know. So I can always go to God and I pray and I ask for help, and I always do. Right? When I'm having struggles, when I feel insecure about myself, when I feel like I'm not good enough, I still struggle with that today, but I still go and pray to God. And God always reminds me through his promises, through the words of Jesus, listen, I called you. You can do this. I love you. I'll be there for you. You're not doing this alone. And so my cup gets filled up, so it pours out, and it's continuing to pour out. That's the imagination. And then from my pouring out, it goes to Bella's cup by being in relationship with her, right? And now Bella meets Miss Paula. She's having an awful day. And she doesn't know anything about God at all. She's just living her life. She's busy. She's trying to make things work, and it's not working out for her. And she is struggling, right? When you are struggling, when you're having a hard time, what can someone do for you to feel loved? Yeah, words of affirmation, yeah. Right? And so Bella sees Miss Paula struggling, right? She's sad, right? What should Bella do? Share it. So she shares it. And what she's sharing, was it hers to begin with? No, whose was it? It was mine. That I got from God. Ultimately, you got it right. And so that's it. And my cup gets filled by relationship. But guess what? The issue is their cups don't get filled. Right? And the only way their cups get filled at this point is for me, who knows God, to pour into them. And this is what we do as a church when we go out and serve people, right? That's what it looks like in Wednesday communion lunches. That's what it looks like when we're collecting food for Health for Kids. We're serving people who don't know how to do this, how to get this, right? Now, did I have a relationship with God because I was so special? It's like, oh, I'm the chosen one. See, you guys don't have a relationship with God, but I do. Is it because God loved me and not Bella and Miss Paula that I have this relationship with God, that I'm able to fill my cup? No. Why? The scripture says it clearly. Jesus died for who? Everyone. So what does Jesus desire? It's not fill me up so I can fill up Paula and then so that Bella can fill up Bella and then Bella can fill up Paula. That's not what Jesus wants, right? And make myself look great. No, what Jesus wants is that Bella would have a relationship with God so that she no longer needs to come to me to fill the cup. And that he would have a relationship with Miss Paula to fill her cup. Right? Eventually and hopefully. And that is the hope, right? We are not the saviors. We're just the channel in which the living water flows. The scripture says that Jesus said, come all who are thirsty, living water, and drink from this, right? And from the believers, the living water will flow. The source of the water is Jesus. But we are the channel in which the living water flows. Thank you guys for that. That's why we're here today. That's why church exists. Not so that we can have a relationship with God and keep it to ourselves. But that living water, that love, that kindness, that goodness, that mercy that God shows us, that same mercies and graces that God shows us would show up in our actions toward others. That's why it is so important to have relationship with people, to serve people, especially those who do not know God. We see in our scripture, Jesus comes, right? Goes to Samaria and meets this woman. Right? She's having a horrible time. Right? She is ostracized by her community. Her own personal love life isn't going all that well. Right? She's at the well when nobody is around, at the hottest point of the day, so she could avoid people. Because she's scared what the woman might say to her if she's around them. This is how her community made her feel. You don't belong with us. You are a nobody. And in that moment, Jesus comes. Right? And how does he share this living water with her? He goes to her. Imagine this. She's a sinner. She's broken. Everyone around her says she's not worthy of anything. But God himself comes to her and speaks to her. And in doing so, Jesus reveals everything about her, her truths that she wants to hide, her reality, what she has done, what she has done wrong. Everything is open in the air, open in the field for her, for him, as he reveals all of them. He knew everything about her. And the twist is this. People during that time thought God punishes the sinners. But when Jesus named all of the things, he didn't say, that's why you're struggling. And that's why you can't talk to me. That's why you are ostracized. That's why you need to change. He doesn't say that. He says, I want to offer you something. I want to give you something. I want to show you love. He met her with grace. A lot of times we try to find things that is wrong with the people so that we can punish them. But what God does and what God shows, what Jesus reveals, is that the reason why it is revealed to us, the reason why it is so important for us to know our sins, is to show us that we need God. That we need the living water, that we need him. And again, it goes back not to punishment, not to condemn, but to want and build this relationship, to show us that we need God. I'll end with this. I want you to catch this. She didn't have to do anything worthy to meet with Jesus. She just did what she usually did in her ordinary life. She wasn't a saint. She wasn't the best person out there. She wasn't famous or popular. She wasn't great. She was just any other ordinary person struggling in her life. And Jesus approached her, a sinner. What that reveals is that what transforms us isn't fear that God will not meet us. What transforms us is knowing that God will meet us no matter where we are at life. And may that be the case for you today. Wherever you are in life, wherever struggles in your life, whenever you feel like you feel unworthy to be with God or be part of this community, I want you to know what changes doesn't come from us. Transformation doesn't come from us. What transforms us is when we meet Jesus first. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And now with one heart and one voice, let us confess our faith found in the words of our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Before I lead us into prayer this morning, I have a couple of prayer requests. Please pray for Nan, who is out sick today. But also, we send our Christian sympathies to the families of Sid Myers for David Myers, who died Thursday, March 5th. For those, you guys probably don't know her because she goes to 8:30 service, but last Sunday she was with us, actually. She was one of the ladies singing at the Wave. And her husband died this Thursday. So we ask that you would please keep Cindy and her family in prayers this morning as you go about your day. And now at this time, if you have a silent prayer request, please show by raise of hands. Let us pray. Merciful God, thank you that you meet people where they are, not where they think they should be. Just as Jesus met the woman at the well, meet us in the ordinary places of our lives, in the places where we feel empty and tired. You know everything about us, our past, our struggles, our mistakes, and the things we try to hide. Yet you still invite us to come closer. Help us to believe that being fully known by you does not lead to rejection, but to grace and new life. Lord, we confess that we often look for satisfaction in things that cannot truly fill our souls. We chase temporary water when you offer living water. Teach our heart to desire what truly gives life. Fill us with your Spirit so that our thirst is satisfied in you. Change our hearts the way you changed the Samaritan woman's heart. Even when our circumstances stay the same, help our perspective, our hopes, and our identities be renewed. Let our life be shaped by the truth that we are seen, loved, and called by you. Give us the courage to share what you have done in our life, like the woman who ran back to her town. Help us point others to Jesus with humility and honesty. Use our stories, even the broken parts, to lead others toward your truth and help us not to miss out on the living water that only Jesus gives, and teach us to seek what is eternal rather than what is temporary. And in our seeking, let waters of living water overflow our lives so that others may see you as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together for our closing song. I'm going to close with one of my favorite hymns of all time, actually. Used to sing this in the church that I grew up in and absolutely love it. Thank you. lifted up church.
Full victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see.
As you go forth from this place, know that the living water, God's love, is available for you. And as you are filled up to the full, may that water pour out from your heart to those around you. For you know that when you go forth from this place, you do not go alone, but that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit goes with us and remains with us now and forever. Amen.